podcast number 10 as a B-side to Wassail Lights Church. And I just wish sometimes it was video cast so you could see what's actually going on in the room. I keep missing my intro and Steve's trying to point to me, but then I just laugh. And so you get that intro. So welcome. Happy Advent season continued. Christmas is next week. And we talked about what we would do this week. We're going to do the best ofs, personal best ofs. And
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. Do you want to whisper to me what it is first?
Can I just clarify that this is not the 12 days of Christmas? This irritates me.
No. I never said it was the 12
days. I know you didn't, but a lot of people are.
No, it starts the 26th, the 12 days.
The 25th.
The 25th?
Is the first day of Christmas.
Oh, I thought it was the 26th.
We're in a season called Advent, right? Not yeah. Christmas. In the liturgical church calendar, we're in the season of Advent, which goes from four Sundays before Christmas until Christmas Eve.
Yes.
And then Christmas Day is the first day of Christmas. There's 12 days. And then January 6th is Epiphany, which is the beginning of the post-Christmas season. So we're not in the 12 days of Christmas.
I like that the 12 days of Christmas are the 12 days after Christmas. Because usually like you're like cramming all this Christmas stuff in before Christmas, and then you feel like Christmas is done after the 25th. Or, yeah. No, I like that.
So we're not, you know, this isn't the whatever fourth day of Christmas.
Oh, someone must have had that conversation with you lately.
Yeah, no, where is it? You see it all the time because people think it's like the 12 days leading up to Christmas.
Okay.
So you see like marketing stuff. But I saw it from like some, I don't know, some Christian organization. I saw some sort of Logos. Now I'm doing this again. Should I have said that?
You're calling them out.
No, because they're doing a promotion, 12 days of Christmas. Every day there's a new sale on a book or on a...
Oh, so they're using the 12 days as a promo, but they haven't actually looked up when the 12 days are.
Yeah, so they're doing the 12 days of Christmas promotion, but it's the 12 days prior to Christmas.
And I'm like, can't do it after Christmas because they're going to slash the prices after Christmas anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, get it right, people. Although iTunes gets it right because they do 12 days of Christmas promotion. They have a free thing every day, like a free app or something, and they start on Christmas Day. Yeah, you download the app and there's a...
You gotta write that down.
You download the app, the 12 days of Christmas app.
Huh.
And every day there's a new prize or a new... They've done this for a couple years. There's like a new song or an app that you can download. But they get it. At least they figured out. Like iTunes is understanding the liturgical calendar. Logos is not on the liturgical calendar. Anyway, rant over. Carry on.
I didn't think the 12 days of Christmas was actually liturgical. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's part of the church.
I didn't know that. I thought it was a secular thing.
No, I mean...
Not that it's a biblical thing.
But that's how it started, I guess. Yeah, I mean, 12 days of Christmas.
Interesting. You know what? I'm really excited because we had some people email us. And we had a couple questions that were great questions. And we'd actually like to save them for the new year. I'm not going to mention what they are because we'd like to expand on them longer than we have today. But we just want to thank that person for sending them in and tell you that we will get back to them when we relaunch in January. But one of our listeners emailed a photograph after my story last week about the picture of Jesus and my mom getting that confused with the picture of Jesus. And so one of our listeners actually emailed in a photograph of a pitcher, like a water ceramic pitcher, that was a Christmas pitcher with Jesus on it. So it was a picture of Jesus. So I was like, that was cool. I was glad that they found that entertaining.
Hunted down a picture of Jesus. Right?
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, so today is not as serious or deep, but hopefully a fun way for people to connect with us. And we didn't get any best ofs from people sent in. Since last week, but we have Shirley with us today. I should say this is Rhoda, and I'm here with Pastor Steve again and Shirley. So Shirley is also on staff, for those of you who may not know that. I think most of you do, and she loves it when we drag her onto the podcast. It's like her favorite thing to do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So
one of these things is not like the others.
That's right. So we brought her up some chocolate that the funeral home brought in for us.
Love
the
funeral home.
Yeah.
Shout out to the funeral home. We were talking, when was it? A few weeks ago. We're like, oh, this is the time of year to start bringing us stuff.
Yeah, but the funeral home bought these like, what are
chocolates.
They? Chocolate fruit and nut melody, yeah. But they're like those chocolate
melody.
Ones. Or melody. Yeah.
It's singing
medley.
Fruit.
Or melody. Well, it's kind of like a melody.
Yeah, the mango kind of hits the soprano notes.
Yeah, totally. Strawberry. Yeah, so we all have our favorites here. And it bugs Charlie and Steve if I turn the lid so that the pictures don't match the corresponding fruit underneath.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, because you can't figure out when there's a lid on there, but that's okay. So, okay, so let's talk about some best subs. Let's talk about what is the best movie that you've seen this year?
I'd say there's two. I'm going to cheat on all these, I think.
Oh, no, you can't cheat. I'm cheating on some, too, but I'm not cheating on that one.
Okay. I am the only one that's not planning on cheating.
Yes. This again would be pretty exemplary of our personalities.
Yeah. Now you all think she's a major cheater.
No, she's the only one that plays by the rules.
You know, she plays by the rules in everything. She goes by the rules on, like, everything in life except for when she plays games. And then it's like her release. Like, she's like the
really
biggest cheater in like board games and stuff. Beware.
Alright, so I'd say 42.
42. I have not seen it
Jackie
yet,
Robinson so movie. I always enjoy a good sports movie. And, you know, obviously it unpacks the themes of racism. First African-American to play in the major leagues. It's a really good story, well told. And I watched it like 3 or 4 times. I bought it on iTunes, and I took it with me on my iPad.
So you really like it?
Yeah.
Did you buy it after already renting it a few times?
No, I bought it beforehand. I wanted to see it in theaters, and I didn't get to it, because I don't see many movies in theaters, because I have children. And it came out, I think it was released like 2 days before I went to Turkey, and so I was looking to buy something for this incredibly long flight. I was like, I want to put a movie on my iPad. And it happened to come out like 2 days before. So I bought it, having not seen it, but wanting to see it. And then I watched it on the way there, on the way back, and with Melissa when I got back, and a bunch of times. So anyway,
so
it was really good.
See it. Have you
really
seen
good
it?
Movie.
No, I hope I don't get shot for this, but I like sports movies, but it's baseball. And I'm not sure that I consider that much of a sport. So I have not seen it.
It's, you know, you think about the average baseball game's like 3 hours.
Yes,
and
how
about,
long is this movie?
And it's about, like, 10 minutes of action, right? This movie is, you know, 2 hours and covers highlights from several years. So you think of, like, all the exciting...
It's just all the good
yeah,
parts.
Yeah, it's all the good parts of baseball. And
which
the story is really
focused on is
the story.
Really
yeah,
on
yeah. And then the other movie I really like, which probably very few people have heard of, is a movie called Still Mine, which is a Canadian film starring James Cromwell. And it's set in... It was Canadian-made, and it was set in New Brunswick. And it's this. It's a true story in this small town, New Brunswick, where this couple, this older couple, you know, they're probably about 80 years old, and she's really starts to suffer with dementia, and he, and she has a fall, and her house. They decide their house is too big, and it's got two stories, and they have to move her to the main floor. And he decides he's going to build a house for his wife. He's always been a builder. And he starts doing this construction. He's building this small house for his wife. And then all the legal trouble he runs into because he didn't hire a builder and he didn't get the right blueprints. But he's fighting so hard and determined to finish this house. He's like 80 years old and he builds his house by himself for his sick wife to help care for her. And it's sort of their love story and this story of him with the law. And it was just really well told, like an indie Canadian film. It got a lot of like praise, but it wasn't a big Hollywood movie.
No, I'm glad you told me you saw
it. It was really good.
I've seen the video case of it. And I'm like, I don't know. It's either going to be like, well, it's either going to be good or it's not.
We really liked it. Well, Melissa and I watched it. A friend recommended it to us, and the acting's really good. Like James Cromwell, is a well-known actor. I knew him from. He was Jack Bauer's dad in season 6. He was like one of the bad guys. He was like the chief bad guy in season 6 of 24. He was Jack Bauer's dad. He's been in a number of movies, right? But yeah. That's really good. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
What about you, Shark?
Well, I don't watch movies about baseball or love stories, so I didn't see either of those.
Sci-fi movie.
It was a construction film. You'd be into that.
Yeah.
Just want to throw out to our listeners here in case they're like, wait. I'm like, we are going to go to other best of, like best of ministry moments and things like that. So if you're waiting for that content, it is coming. But what was your favorite movie that you saw?
I didn't get to see a lot of movies this year, but Ian and I did go to see Gravity, and hands down,
one I haven't seen.
It was really good.
Yeah, that was ridiculously awesome.
That was another one where I watched it, and I mean, I do want to see it now, but when I saw it come out, I'm like, seriously, there's a full like feature film about being lost in space?
Yeah.
Like, how is this even possible?
It was tense, but good.
It was a good, for cinematic purposes. Like the fact that there's two actors in the whole film that are alive.
Yeah.
And that you don't just hear their voice. And there's a lot of, and then just a lot of, you know, for a good chunk of the film, one person, no music, very little sound effects. So it's like, it was built on, so you strip away all the stuff of like sound effects and music and fast cutting and, you know, things blowing up. Like you strip all that away and it's really, then it's resting on good acting and good mm-hmm. story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes you have a bad story that's covered up in exciting music and
flashy,
you know,
yeah.
But this, the film, was so good because the acting and the story were so good. It was compelling without all the usual stuff that is, you know, distract or all the layers that, you know, cover up the actual story. And yeah, you can hide a bad story and bad acting behind cinematic effects. Hmm. But this, they couldn't do that with this. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it was awesome. I saw, I'm another person. We don't see many movies between us, so I didn't see many movies, but I saw Captain Phillips, which I have trained myself now to say Captain Phillips, because I went to see it with two of our junior hires from church who I, in my discipleship process, and we went to go see it, but I kept calling it, Captain I asked Morgan. If they wanted to go see Captain Morgan, yeah. Which, if those of you out there,
we've told this story.
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We have a whole podcast episode called Captain Morgan.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Well, yeah, okay. So, Captain Phillips, aka Morgan, was the one I saw, and I thought it was really excellent. So, if I've talked
about it. You haven't
seen it. You haven't seen it?
No, well, we went.
We have to swap movies that we've seen.
Well, Melissa and I went to the theater, and we went and saw Gravity, and like we were. Choosing, debating. And we went to Gravity.
If you,
you
go
chose
see,
wisely.
Yeah.
You haven't even seen Captain Phillips.
Yeah.
Captain Phillips, though, I saw that in the IMAX, and I would recommend not seeing it in IMAX because just especially the start, like it feels very real the way they filmed it. Like they're falling behind, but it's so close falling behind with like the motion that I found on the IMAX. The first like 5-10 minutes, I was like, I'm not going to make it through this movie because I get really car sick though. I'm the person who, if I'm sitting not in the front, I have to be looking like right out the middle, or I'm like done in like 3 minutes. So I wondered, but it changed after that. And I think, but the storyline was excellent. And Tom Hanks was really phenomenal in that movie. Yeah. So, that's another one. We'll see. Books. This is really a question for Steve. Steve, what is the best book that you read?
I only want one.
You're cheating on this one too, right?
I am.
No, yeah. No more than two though. Two.
I wrote down three.
Oh,
you gotta pick two.
I read a lot of books.
He eats books for breakfast.
The one I read in the beginning of the year was last like January was Eric Metaxas' biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's a really big book, but it was really good, and I devoured it really quickly for breakfast. It was phenomenal, well told, and I love Eric Metaxas' writing. Some biographies can be boring, but he's a compelling storyteller and recounting it all.
In one sentence, for people who have no idea who Dietrich is,
he was a Lutheran pastor during the German Lutheran pastor in the 30s and 40s in Nazi Germany, who stood against the Third Reich when the Third Reich was sort of heavily influencing the Lutheran Church, so that the Lutheran Church was going along with Nazi propaganda. But he started what is called the Confessing Church, which was a group of pastors and churches that refused to go along with what they were being pressured to do, and were instead teaching biblical truth. Mm-hmm. And calling out the Nazi regime at times, in as much as they knew what was going on, and he was committed to he was a trained theologian and so he stood against the Nazi regime and ended up costing his life. He played a small role in the plot to kill Hitler, the July 6th.
The Valkyrie one?
Yeah, the Valkyrie plot. Because he was a well-known theologian at the time, written some books, he had access to travel in and out of Germany when a few others did. And so he was passing information. But he was, when that plot went bad, he was found out. And in the end, he was hung in, I forget the name of the prison. anyway, but he was hung about 6 or 10 days before the end of the war. That you could hear the Allies.
Oh.
You could hear like, they were like, you know, a few miles away or whatever. Like, but as the war was ending, or as they were losing, they started killing prisoners like crazy.
Mm.
And so he lost his life at the end of the war. And but was a well-known Lutheran theologian and Christian martyr. But so it's a fascinating story. It's a mix of like theology, his passion for the church, his writing, his own personal story, his love story. He was, you know, all the letters he wrote to his fiance, whom he never married, and family stuff, and his involvement in international kind of stuff, and then his whole role as a spy. Yeah, and he was a this is not one sentence, but he was a, you know, he was he was a
that's okay,
pacifist.
Just cut out your other books now.
He was a pacifist, and he didn't, but he was really struggled with, like, he didn't want to kill someone.
Hmm.
So he felt it was sinful to participate in the plot to kill Hitler, but it was more sinful to not. And he was really stuck as a theologian as to what he should or shouldn't do, but he kind of got dragged into it. But he
that
felt,
could be like a whole other podcast,
yeah.
Just that conversation.
So send us your questions on pacifism.
Yeah.
My other one, N.D. Wilson's book, Death by Living, which was really good. I love N.D. Wilson's writing. It's just sort of like, it's hard to describe what his writing's like, but
Death by Living?
Death by Living. And he just sort of life, the Christian life is meant to be spent and to pour yourself out. Anyway, he's just a phenomenal creative writer, and it's hard to describe what his book's really about, but it's just really compelling. It's interesting. And the other one I just finished was Alistair McGrath's biography of C.S. Lewis, which is excellent, and just came out not too long ago, and it was really interesting. And he not only tells the story of Lewis, but sort of what, you know, you learn more about his relationships and his formation, and McGrath actually unearthed some new research that other biographers didn't have, and that, you know, he figured out that the dating of Lewis's conversion was off by a year, and there's some like new contributions his biography has that others don't have, and he does well to kind of dig into the backstory of Narnia, and yeah, I mean it was really good, it was really interesting, I really enjoyed it.
So you're a bio man.
I've gotten into biographies in the last year and a half more. Read a whole bunch. I've just been kind of devouring biographies. I think it's important to so like historically I wasn't, but I reread Luther's biography before we went to Germany a year and a bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been reading more and more. So then I read Eric Metaxas' biography of William Wilberforce right after I read the Bonhoeffer one, which is excellent. And then Metaxas also wrote a book called Seven Men and the Key to Their Greatness. And it's like seven shorter biographies, including Bonhoeffer and Wilberforce and then five other guys, which is great as well. And I've been reading more biography. I think it's important to get into the life and teaching and thought of people that are dead, that went before us, that aren't, they're not prone to make the same mistakes that we are. I mean, they have their flaws, but they also see the world differently, which is good. Like, that's the strength and weakness of history, right? Is that we have our blind spots, and they have blind spots too, but they have different blind spots than we do. So we can help correct each other.
Have you ever seen the movie? I don't know if we talked about this before or not either, but the Amazing Grace movie that came out about William Wilberforce?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're not a big Bible reader out there, but it's a video worth renting, it's really excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you just even have an appreciation for...
And the book came out around the same time. The book's called Amazing Grace. They were all kind of themed together with the anniversary, whatever anniversary it was.
Hmm.
There's some anniversary.
Probably the abolition.
Birth or death. Yeah, something like that. So his book, they were in production of the film and they asked him to write a biography. So it's called Amazing Grace. It's the story of William Wilberforce, something like that. Yeah.
Hmm. What about you, Cher? Any exciting books?
I only finished one book all year, but that's just because I detest finishing books. I hate it. In all my nonfiction books, by the time I get like 3/4 of the way through, I'm like, yeah, we're not saying anything new. Put that down. And in fiction, I just don't like the story ending, so I choose not to put the end of a book. So my favorite half-read book this year, actually, I don't know if favorite's the right word, but the one that stands out the most was God in a Brothel. I really struggled through that one. I found it really difficult after having been to Cambodia and having nieces and nephews that are young and reading some of these stories of just human trafficking. That was a tough read.
I know I partially read that one too. I haven't finished it yet, but it's written by the guy who writes it is from New Zealand, and he's a police officer, but he's done all this undercover investigative work for different organizations and to do with human trafficking. And so he has all these short stories in a book of the different experiences, and they're from different places. And then he has some stats and stuff, and he also shares he's writing it to a wider audience, but in the beginning he acknowledges that, but he also shares his testimony. Like, he's a believer, and he shares that through there too. But, you know, the first couple of chapters are not as detailed. And then it was probably around chapter, I don't know, 5 or 6, where because both of us had been to Southeast Asia, that was the one he started it in a chapter where I could actually imagine the kids. Like, yeah. I could see their faces, and, yeah. and it made it.
Picture the place.
Yeah.
I've been to those places.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's an interesting perspective on it. And so, yeah, it's a good book, but not an easy book.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's probably good that they're in bite-sized chunks, because you can kind of handle about one chapter at a time. Yeah. So, the one that I found interesting was this chapter on Las Vegas, because I knew, like all of us know at Las Vegas, that there's an industry that thrives on sex, but I always thought it was your own choice. And what I really was surprised at was how much behind the scenes in the States,
yeah,
human trafficking,
yeah,
issues that there were.
Yeah.
I found that shocking.
And horrified.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, me too. So probably no one listening is going, well, I want to pick up that book. But it actually really is. That's why I'm going to read over the holidays. He's going to kill me, because last week I lied. I said I wasn't going to say this is my book, but I went to think about it this week, and Radical is my book. It's my second time reading it. It's not a new one.
That's the only book I finished this year.
Yeah, and you read it last year too. But I reread it this year, and I would say I've read other books this year, but as far as memorable or impact, I just felt re-challenged.
Some recommendations or something.
Yeah, Radical, Taking Your Faith Back from the American Dream. I don't know what the one that you said, Death by Living or Pouring Your Life Out, but that's, I love the concepts that David Platt just challenges us with in Radical. And it's really, I have to say, being my second time around and after Cambodia first time, is really challenging me on how I want to adjust some things in my life. And so, anyway, so that's probably the most impactful book. Okay, well, I want to get to ministry stuff too, but so I'm going to kind of lump, you're going to have to make choices now, on name a top either concert or place you went to or something new you tried or discovered this year. Some kind of highlight. A highlight of a trip, a concert, or something you just discovered or is new.
That's not a genre. That's...
I know. It's new. So.
Is this me?
Yeah, go. Anyway, I'm killing you, right? Because you probably had three for each answer. Uh-huh. We don't have time for that.
Yeah.
So you have to pick one topic and give us your three answers for that one topic then.
Well, my trip.
Yeah.
Well, I went to Turkey. Was amazing.
Oh, right.
I really enjoyed that.
That's when you were meeting to go and teach for the underground pastors.
Yeah,
for
yeah. So East,
how could that not be a massive?
Yeah, there was four of us. Yeah. We went to Istanbul to meet with pastors, trusting that there's no one listening that's going to report us. The audience for the podcast. We went to meet with pastors from North African countries that they have no biblical training because they're Muslim background believers. And there's seminaries in some of these countries, but only for Christians. And by Christians, I mean people who are born Christians. Like, you usually have you're in your ID card, it says whether you're Christian or Muslim in your country, right? So these guys can't get access to biblical training, but they're church planters and missionaries in their own countries, reaching people in these close countries for Christ. And so we got to go and help equip them biblically. I taught a class on the Gospels. That's what I taught. Yeah, walking them through the Gospels and sound interpretation and just equipping them for a week. And it was amazing. So I really enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't see much of Turkey. I mostly just hung out with these guys. We went to Istanbul for a day, but it was an amazing experience.
Yeah. Did you have other answers for that question?
Yeah. I mean, what, best music?
No, I meant for, like, you usually have three answers for each state.
That was the best place. I mean, I also, the other place I went is I took Melissa to Hawaii for her 30th birthday. We'd never been anywhere like that. And she always wanted to go to Hawaii. So we went for a week to Honolulu. I surprised her.
Yeah.
Like, I told her, like, 2 days before. And
I'm glad you gave her 2 days before, because girls like surprises, but at the same time, we also need to be prepared.
Yeah. So she'd always, it was like on her bucket list. She always wanted to do, or she always wanted to go before she was 30. So we took her for her 30th birthday, which was a lot of fun, just to hang out with her too.
Nice.
My bestie.
Oh, yeah.
So it's fun to hang out without kids.
Have some time to yourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the truck, and it doesn't help hurt that it's in Hawaii. What about you, Cher?
Ian and I went to Hawaii too. It was our first time taking
someone
any kind
didn't
of
give
vacation.
Me the memo about going to Hawaii.
And I'd say that was probably a highlight there was I tried scootering for the first time, which was a ridiculous amount of fun. Felt stupid, but it was so much fun. So, like, scootering across lava fields in Maui, like,
that sounds like a lot of fun.
It was a little bumpy, but it was fun.
Nice. I took the photo club that I'm a part of in the community, and we went to Cape and Ray Island, or Cape and Ray Bible School on Divas Island, and we booked in as a separate group there, so I was the only believer going, and I was taking a small group, but like a great group of people, but I, you know, it's a very Christian place that we're going to, and even though we're not going with their program, I knew that there would be a lot, it wouldn't be hidden, like they're very, they hosted amazing, but you know, they'd be like, this is what we're about, and they take time to explain that, and so part of me was excited about that, and the other part of me was like, how will this go over? But the photo, like, we went, and they, Cape and Ray, just, oh my goodness, they fed us like kings, and the grounds are beautiful, and so our group basically just got to wander the island and the grounds and shoot photographs all over the place, and they loved it so much that they want to go back. So, and it was interesting because, you know, we'd say grace at, like, one of the hosts from Cape and Ray would say grace at the meal, and then a bunch of our guys would be like, amen, like, everybody would say it. So, I don't know, it was just interesting because I felt like they got to know a part of me more, and then because I was their connection, and I have a long-standing connection with them, and like with Cape and Ray, so it was neat on relationship building, and it was beautiful. And because I do photographs for my business of people all the time, I got to go and take photographs of like flowers and things that I never take the time to do anymore because it when I work, it feels like work. Yeah, I don't get paid. It doesn't pay.
Flowers
the bills.
Don't pay. The bills.
They don't pay the bills, but they feed the soul. So there you go. So that was a fun thing I did this year that I really enjoyed. It was a good getaway. Okay, how are we doing here? I think that let's talk about ministry highlights. Ministry highlights for the year. Shirley, go first.
I'm up first. This year we started worship with CAP Kids, and that's been the change that I've seen over the last few months. Has definitely been the highlight for me of going from kids who gave me these blank stares as I was up there singing, which already is bad news, to now having a room full of them where I can't even hear myself. They're singing so loud, and hearing them walking down the hallway coming to Sunday school and they're singing the songs already and hearing them when we're in the sanctuary.
It just, I love that. Actually, a lot of people commented on that.
Yeah.
Like just the engagement of the kids now, which I love.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's been the highlight for me, is that and watching kids get excited about, like, opening their Bibles and being able to find stories in their own Bibles is that, I don't know, it's just exciting on my end of things to see little kids excited about this and wanting to do this and learning. So.
Well, you know, and that reminds me, because I think sometimes as, like, adults, we put our own feelings of where we're at on kids, like, oh, kids wouldn't be interested in this, or they won't, like, because I think we learn social norms or things, like, maybe if you're not a big singer and you feel really self-conscious, then, like, you would transfer that on, but, like, kids are in a different, you know, the Bible talks about the kingdom belonging, like, coming to the kingdom as a child, you know, and kids can get excited and passionate and understand more and feel things, even sometimes, like, God can seem more real to them, like, and so I think that you start giving them those opportunities and then you can see them engage
yeah.
with it, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, for myself, it was a big year of transition in ministry because after a lot of years, we wrapped up TAC 57 for now, at least under us and Tac 57 was our preteen ministry for grades 5, 6, 7 that I've been involved in for about 8 years, 4 years running it, and then 4 years before that working in it. And I really loved it, but we just, for a variety of reasons, felt like this was the year to make that transition, and hopefully we'll look at it starting up under someone else next year. But so that was a bittersweet transition. Mm-hmm. Like, it was time, and sometimes you want to leave when it's time and not after when it's time. But yeah, it was bittersweet. But the group of kids we had last year were not all, but a large, like over 80% from non-church families. And when we wrapped up, we decided, like, we hadn't done this every other year, but we decided with this group that we would give them the Action Bibles, which are like graphic animated Bibles, because a lot of them were going home to families that wouldn't open a Bible, so they had to be Bibles that these kids of this age would open on their own without us around going through it. And so we gave out Action Bibles, and it was really cool because we got a few emails from parents back from outside the church saying, my son loved his Bible and he took it to school and he's almost read the whole thing. And like, those parents, positive feedback from those parents about that, and the kids reading the stories and really engaging with it. So that was kind of, I was thankful for that feedback at the end of that. And so then I so I guess that was the highlight of that. But then the real highlight for me has been transitioning back to co-leading with the Cambodian team. Not because it's always awesome to go place rescue and go to Cambodia, but I love the discipleship process of the team. I love team, and I love the discipleship process. And so as a whole, that's a highlight for me, but also my discipleship partners, most people are partnered with one person, but I'm meeting with Emma and Megan, who are in high school, and it has been a gift to me this fall. Like, we've been going through Radical, we've been having really deep conversations, but we've been laughing tons and sharing life and just developing a great friendship of what I really think discipleship is supposed to look like. And I mean, I guess I'm guilty of going into it thinking, because I'm the adult, that I'm going to be feeding into them, but it's been a real gift back to me for sure. So that's definitely my highlight for this year.
Yeah, I'd say like the spring was a kind of a tough season for me personally, just sort of. And then summer was kind of just worn out and just frustrated with some things, and there's some struggles to deal with and problems to solve. And then going away in the summer was great, and I got some rest and stuff. But then the fall has been my highlight, because it's been a really fun season. I went into Nehemiah thinking, like, yeah, this will be okay. Like, I had low expectations. I'm like, this will suffice. But it was really awesome. I really enjoyed Nehemiah, and I think there's a really good response to the message in Nehemiah. And just to see the church growing and a real positive, exciting atmosphere. I'd say like the fall has been my most enjoyable season of ministry here in like 5 years. It's been this last few months. So kind of went from like a rough spring, mm-hmm. got away in the summer some and refreshed, but then it's just been a really good fall, and I've just been having a lot of fun. And so it's been an exciting season. There's been lots to be thankful for and lots to celebrate, and mm-hmm. God's been really good. So it's been a really enjoyable season for a number of reasons. So that's sort of my ministry highlight. And then as well, connected to that, I guess, is like my community group this fall. It's been really enjoyable. Just have a really good group of young families that hang out with our 9 kids running around. And, mm-hmm. But it's really good. It's really, you know, we've been, none of us are really close, or some of us didn't know each other really before that, but we've made good friends, and it's been good.
Community.
Yeah, and shared our lives together, and you know, we're in a similar situation, and yet we didn't really know each other well.
Which is the beauty of community groups.
Yeah, yeah. So even though you're maybe unsure what it's gonna, how it's gonna play out going into it, mm-hmm. Then you know, just a couple of short months, we've gotten to make good friends, and you know, you have so much in common. In our case, because of our kids, you know, same stage of life. But yeah, so it's been enjoyable as well.
Hmm. Well, I don't think we'll keep people much longer today. This is a busy time of year, and we just want to wish everybody a great Christmas, and we look forward. We're going to relaunch in the new year. We're going to take a break for a couple of weeks. And
eat turkey.
And eat more turkey.
Pie, pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
Bring me your pumpkin pie.
And So we're going to take a break. We're going to relaunch sometime in January and kick off the new year with you. And we wish you a really great end to this year. And I hope for everybody listening that if they're not engaged in some kind of ministry or figuring out where that works for them, that those were definitely our highlights for the year. And if you have questions about that, if you have questions about community groups or getting involved in ministry, you can email those to the podcast too. We'll be happy to check back with you. Anyway, I think that's a wrap.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.